for me, it's a metaphor for life. You want, life is really, really hard, as we've established many times. And you can succumb to it. You can quit. You can, you know, let life pass you by, or you can pick yourself back up and face challenges and be okay with failure. And you're going to become a stronger human being because of it.
We all walk this long, winding road. Just remember that life is life.
Boys, it's been a little while since the three of us have been together. And I am currently in the throes of spring break, which is, as you can tell, I'm grayer and have less hair.
What have you been doing, Chase? How's the spring break treating you?
Well, my kids have 2 weeks at spring break, so we are currently in week two.
Okay.
And I am now at the place, because my daughter was on her East Coast trip with her eighth grade class. So it's like the eighth grade go U.S. history. They went to Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, spent an afternoon in Amish country, and then spent a final couple days in New York City. And she got back and immediately was like, I'm bored and I want, you know, to hang out with my friends and I want to go to the beach and I want to do everything else. My son, who is kind of a bump on the log, perfectly happy with sitting around, not doing a lot. So on the other end, I have to push him and get him to go do stuff and not just sit and play his video games all day.
So they're both on different extremes that drive you crazy.
Yes, they're both extremes that are drive me nuts. And by the way, I have to work, which is also fun. And trying to explain to them that the world doesn't revolve around their schedules has been fun for me.
Yeah, but now you have – I mean, Clay's got a car, right?
Not – well, kind of, but I have to be with him to drive at this point.
Oh, I did not know that.
He doesn't actually have his license yet. He has his permit. Mm. Permit. So
gotcha.
I kind of have to be there.
He's
for
still
that.
There. Yeah. It's same as you take same time commitment as when you had to drive him yourself. Maybe even more of a time commitment.
I knew that, but didn't know that. I forgot about that. I thought he was able to drive now by himself, but that makes sense. So you're still screwed. You're still screwed.
Yeah. Not quite yet. So anyway, it's been nice. At least we have nice weather, again, and I did take Avery to the beach and that was fun. But you know, I'm dealing with this kind of stuff, where, you know, some of my kids' classmates are on these really awesome, vacations at spring break and that kind of thing. And they're like, well, how come, you know, we're at home? And I'm like, dude, you just got back from an East Coast trip. And by the way, you were in Vegas the weekend before in volleyball and we're leaving for Salt Lake City this week. Are you kidding me? It doesn't grow on trees here.
By the way, she probably travels more than anybody.
Right.
Right.
I was going to say, didn't I just see you in Vegas, Chase?
Yeah. You and I ran into each other, which was really fun. That was the beginning of your little spring break vacation with your family. And I saw a lot of the pictures and it made me think a lot, Phil, of, you know, I saw you did a lot of hiking. So give us a little feedback on, and I'm starting to see a pattern here on the Arevalo family vacations. there's a lot of national parks involved.
There is. And, you know, my kids also have 2 weeks of spring break. So we took the first week of their spring break and did a road trip, which I love. And then we turned it into a national parks trip again. Initially, we were going to do Bryce and Zion, but the week before, Bryce Canyon got like a foot of snow. It was going to be highs in the 40s. And my kids don't do well with that temperature. And honestly, I'd rather not deal with those temperatures either. So we switched it up. We ended up doing Joshua Tree and then stopped by Vegas before heading up to Zion. And that's where I bumped into you. And then on the way back did Death Valley, which I'd never been to. And
did you see Scotty's Castle?
No. We were only in Death Valley for a day. So we did a lot of the drives, like Artist Point. And then we did the Badwater Basin where they have the mostly mud, but lake that doesn't usually there. Lost a hat and then someone retrieved it way down the way. And then I lost a shoe in the mud, but I found it.
Sounds like an awesome trip.
It was fun. And there was a couple complaints. You know, I've been a hiker for a long time. So I try to keep the hiking to very reasonable levels, both for Sarah and the boys. But there was definitely a couple times where the little one was, we're hiking how far? And it doesn't matter what distance you give him. You can say half a mile. He'll be like, half a mile? Are you kidding me? Same reaction if you say 5 miles. And you know, the distance isn't there. So I have to like break it down with things that he knows. It's like
remind everybody how old the kids are, the boys.
Oh, mine are 10 and 5. So my 10-year-old Barrington loves – he'll complain up until when we start hiking, and then he's all about it. Except for when it was cold, and then he complained about how cold it was the whole time. The little one has periods where he's all about it and other periods where he's like, I'm tired, I'm done. So I have to put it all into his perspective. You know, how far are we? Oh, it's less than one Cal's Mountain, buddy. And anyone who hikes in San Diego has heard of Cal's Mountain. You know, it's a very popular hike. So that's kind of how I, in his mind, it's shorter than Cal's Mountain, buddy. And that's how I measure it. Like, okay, that's not that bad. I've done that one. But we got Fitbits, and then I realized he takes a lot more steps than the steps that I do to do the same distance. Yeah. He's got those short little legs.
He's got those teeny little legs. Yeah.
So then I try to keep that in mind. Like he's walking a lot more steps than I am on a regular basis when we're out.
How far can the little 5-year-old go?
He's done like, Cal's here. That's about 3 miles. One of the days, at the end of the day, my Fitbit said we'd done a cumulative of 9 miles.
Damn, so, that's impressive.
Yeah,
that is impressive. That's a lot super, for a little kid.
Have you always been into hiking?
I have. Okay. I used to hike a ton more before kids when I had a lot more free time. Our goal this year as a family is 25 hikes. I've lost That's awesome. Count of the tally. I haven't tallied these ones, but I think we're going to get to it. There was a time where I was doing like 75, 50 hikes a year. That was before kids.
Wow. Though.
That's something I never got into.
I was laughing.
Hiking.
No? Me neither. Well,
and I'm in some of the, Chase and I up here are some near some of the best trails. Yes, I mean, so, you probably know yeah. best, but, yeah. I've even
potato chip rock.
You've never done potato chip rock?
I have done that, but like okay, I said, we just don't do a lot. I've actually always, I guess I'm not too into it personally, but like, trying to push myself outside my comfort zone. I've actually suggested if we don't have anything to do, like, hey, let's go on a hike. And my kids want no part of that. Zero. 0.0.
Yeah. And that's what made me think of what I wanted to talk about today was Felipe. I was just absolutely dying in the pictures of on social media that you were posting, because it brought me back to my childhood. And my parents were, my dad was a freaking Eagle Scout, Boy Scout guy, like Eagle Scouts about as high as it can get. And he would take us as little kids. I mean, and the reason I know Death Valley and Scotty's Castle is because we went on vacations there. My parents were all about the hiking and four wheeling. And my dad was into like Western books and like cowboy books and stuff.
Yeah.
So he like knew all of this California history and would take us everywhere. And my brother and I would be like, oh God, again, we're going to go, hey guys, it's going to be fun. We're going to go find this fort that the Indian, you know, and all this stuff, the history. And you get there and there's like a couple of rocks and they're like,
we did walk to some ruins in Joshua Tree. It was like old mine. And I did give them the preface ahead of time. Like, don't expect anything beautiful. This is ruins. This is a building was there. You can kind of tell, but now like, this is it. I'm like, yeah, that was
so Chase, well, is that why you maybe don't hike anymore? Did you not enjoy it as a kid?
I was having that discussion with my father the other day. I have now, I'm able at the ripe old age of 52 to like be honest with my dad and let him know I hated it. And I want no part of it. Cause he asked me, like, how come you don't give your kids go hiking and all that stuff as much? And I said, well, we go local hiking and stuff. And he's like, but you guys don't go anywhere like Joshua Tree, for instance, like Felipe, we went there plenty of times. I said, Dad, I only have so much time off and only so much time I get to spend with the kids. And Carrie and I, when she was alive, you know, we together, neither of us liked the cold, for one. And both of us had, in our minds, we liked vacations that were by a body of water.
Oh, Carrie, yeah.
Where we could wear bathing suits.
Yeah, Carrie's not in the hiking.
No, and we could have little umbrellas in our cups when we were having, you know. And we would, and you know, for our kids, we would do lots of snorkeling, tons of boating. They would see all kinds of stuff. But it was about time, and we didn't have a ton of it. And so, you know, my kids, especially now, are all in all kinds of sports. So I was, it's, you're limited in all the different kinds of things that you can do. And you have to choose sometimes and, you know, what you're going to get your kids involved in and what you're going to introduce your kids to. And yet at the same time, Phil, I know that I don't love the hiking and the camping and all that stuff, but I do have fond memories of it.
That's kind of what I'm aiming for. I don't know if they'll become hikers, but hopefully they go, you know, I did not enjoy that all the time, but I'm glad I did it. I told them as we were doing the walk up to where the Narrows starts in Zion, and we saw the people with the waders and getting ready to venture into river crossings and things like that. I told them, like, we're going to do this. We're going to do this in about 7 years. That's the goal. And the little one was like, why 7 years? Well, because at that point, you'll be 12. You'll be tall enough. And Barrington will be 17. I could still legally force him to go. So that's...
Yeah, but Phil, I think it's great, Phil, because number one, you're passionate about it. And I think that's, you know, Chase is obviously passionate about sports. He grew up in the sports world. I didn't know about the hiking stuff with your dad. That's pretty good. But I think it's just important that you pass your passion along and then they can decide. But at the end of the day, they're going to remember the memories. Even though Chase didn't maybe thoroughly enjoy the hiking, the laughs, the times with his mom and dad and his brother are going on. And man, hiking is healthy. You're getting outside. It's cheap. It's free. It's great family time. And you know, at the end of the day, you're getting super good exercise. So I think it's a great hobby or whatever you want to call it, but I think it's a great way to, and you get to explore.
It's healthy for sure.
You get to explore some of the most beautiful places in the world.
Life is life.
Even though I don't love the hiking and the camping and all that stuff, it's still probably something I should introduce my kids to and let them decide for themselves if they like it or not. But again, it comes down to time. And it made me also think of how many things have we done through our lives that, you know, we need to make our kids go do something, even though they probably don't want to. And the one thing, obviously, we talk about this a lot, but the one thing that our kids have today that we didn't have at all is these little devices that are with them 24/7. And they get a lot of entertainment out of that. And the most entertainment that we got if we weren't outside was a TV that had maybe 15 channels, right? We didn't, that was it, maybe four, you know, I mean, shoot, depending on how old we are. Cable didn't come in till much later. But these kids, how much do we need to force them to do things versus, oh, let them decide for themselves?
Yeah, the tablets definitely come into play. And as we're driving to some of these longer things, we do give them pretty much have at it access on their tablets. But we have the rule when we get to the national park, if we're driving through it, you got to put it down. That's it. We're here. Put it down. Plus, if I say, guys, look around, you better put the thing down and look around because you're going to miss something. And they're pretty good about it. But you're right. There's that draw. Like, oh, Ignacio, as we were preparing for it, I showed him a couple videos and he recognized one of the locations from an Instagram video. And he said, this is the one we saw on the videos. And he was, that might have been the most excited he got when he realized he was at a spot that he had seen in an Instagram video. This is interesting that, you know, of all the things that he could have gotten excited about seeing was seeing a spot that he saw on a video by some random person online. But, you know, we put them through, I put them through the hikes, but there was this one part where there's this, there's a picture on it on that video that I did, Chase, where we climbed up this really steep,
you were breathing a little heavy.
Rock. Oh, I was,
which was that really, was I'm after, like, oh God, does he want to keep going?
It was altitude along with the fact that it was really steep. And I, that was not my idea. We were at the bottom looking at it and I thought that was cool. And we saw an older couple go up and I was like, man, that those guys are like, abuela and abuelo's age, my parents. And then they're like, oh, and they can do it. Like, yeah. And they can do it. And then Barrington was like, I could do it. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's a little steep. So I asked Ignacio, do you want to do it? And he said, well, I'll leave it up to you. And I was like, if you're going to leave it up to me, the answer is always going to be yes, we're climbing. he's like, all right, let's do it. And Sarah said, no, thank you. I will wait for you guys at the bottom. I do not want to fall on day one at Zion. And so we climbed up the steep thing. Once I was up there, I realized there was an easier way down and up on the other side. But it was just, you know, I think seeing the ending point got them excited about it and seeing the challenge and saying, yes, let's do it. So maybe, just maybe, they will at some point say, you know, drag me onto a hike where I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that one. We'll see.
That's something they'll never forget. That will be a story that they will remember. And the mountain will get larger and larger and larger every right. time they tell the story.
Tell the story.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I've got very fond memories of all that stuff. And like Brian mentioned earlier, I have, you know, my family, when I was a kid, I have no complaints. I literally had the best parents. My brother and I have a great relationship. We spent a lot of time together. I might not have loved the activity that we might have done, but I did love the time together. And I did love those memories. I didn't love the setting up the tent and waking up with a air mattress that was flat, or pine boughs sticking in my back, or my father taking me on a snipe hunt when there absolutely is no such thing as a snipe.
I learned that too.
I didn't love that.
You know, I follow a couple of the news people on the social media, some of the news anchors here in San Diego. And Raul from Fox 5 just posted a video, I think yesterday, he was at Joshua Tree, and they were doing glamping. So maybe that's what you need to do, Chase. Like, you could glamping rent an Airstream. Better. And you're still out there. You can still go hike a little during the day, but then you come back to not a tent. You're not building a tent. Yes. You're not.
Yeah.
I'm a big camper about the beach. I love the beach. Like, if you were to camp like in a big old RV right next to the beach, I'm good with that. Or a lake or something where there's water.
So my answer to your question, Chase, is I think – because of the lack of time, you do what you, as a dad and a parent, you do what you are most passionate about and you make the kids do that, right? Because, you know, you don't have a lot of time, as we talked about. So you show them what you love because you have to be happy. So you do that. You push them outside their comfort zone. And then when they become older, they are going to decide, you know, what they're
right.
What they love, what their passions are. But I think, you know, we've talked about this with sports or anything. It's like until you know what you don't know what you do or do not like. So I think pushing your kids for the first few times, especially at the younger ages, is super critical. And then after that, as they get older, they're going to find their lane and they're going to find their things. But the memories will always be there, you know? And I would say just, you know, because Phil is so passionate about it, they're going to see the joy. I'm sure the you know, Chase, if you and I took our kids camping, they would not see the joy in us. So it would not be... No. I can't put up a can. I couldn't put up a tent. I couldn't. You know, I have no desire for that. So, I mean, I did some camping.
All they would remember is all they would remembering is cussing and frustration.
Right.
Which, yeah, I mean, I 100%. It's funny. We were having the conversation just a couple days ago. My kids, our friends of theirs, growing skiing, and my kids. I grew up in the mountains. I grew up skiing since I was 5 years old. I was on a race team. I did all kinds of that: water skiing, snow skiing. And my kids have never been snow skiing. In fact, my kids have seen the snow maybe twice in their life, and I have a home up in the mountains. And
that's
the
crazy.
Question I always get is, how come you guys don't go skiing? And well, one, I will tell you, when again, I'll go back to Carrie when she was like, again, time is valuable. And Carrie lived on the East Coast forever. She hated cold weather and hated the snow. And so it just wasn't something. And by the way, Southern California, you never know when it's going to snow anyway. And when it does, the whole world goes up there. So learning how to ski in Southern California is a mess. But it was just one of those things, again, that she didn't want enjoy.
Right.
And those times that we did want to do, we wanted to go to Hawaii, or we wanted to go to Mexico, or something that was, you know, adventurous that way. But it was typically in a warm climate. But I still feel guilty that my kids still haven't done that. And yet, as you said, I don't know if I should, because eventually, and it's a cost factor.
No, but
it's
remember,
not
but,
cheap to do these things.
Yeah, but remember too, I did back when I was growing up, I did, you know, we'd do some camping as well. We'd have fun. We would do fishing. It was a great time.
Another thing I can't stand.
But my point is, I think what happens though is, I didn't even see outside. I didn't see anything in this country hardly, because, all of our trips, my mom was born and raised in Ireland. So every 2 years we would go to Ireland for the whole summer. So that was our family budget, right? So until I got older and met different friends is when I finally started seeing different parts of this country, So I think what happens too is, as the kids get exposed to new friends and as they grow up, they're going to start being invited. All of a sudden, maybe one of Avery's friends is going to invite her to the snow, right? When she's now getting older. So she's like, oh, I got invited to go to Big Bear or Mammoth, And so I think you start getting exposed in your different worlds.
Yes.
And then they're going to, and all of a sudden Avery might go, oh man, this is amazing. I love skiing. So then, then she'll take that on. So I think, because of the time, the money, and all the stuff we've just talked about, at the end of the day, you do what you love to do, and your family, your kids are going to join you, which is the right way. And then as they grow and get older and expose themselves to more things, they're going to find new passions, and they'll also keep a lot of the passions that we were all born and raised with. So I think, and that's what's great about living, right? Is just being exposed to different groups of people and different interests. And, and she might be an avid skier 5 years from now. You never know, right? You just never know.
Same, Brian. I think growing up, I didn't really get to do too much venturing I'd never been to Joshua Tree until last week. And that's, 3 miles up the road. Our family vacations trips, when we did them, were down into Mexico, where my parents are from. So that was, I never made it past Tucson, because then you'd drive down from there. So we did road trips into Mexico. We traveled into Mexico. I'd spend time down in Mexico with my grandparents and things, but I never got to go, I never had opportunity. I never went national parks. We would camp, but it was here in Cuyamaca or Julian area. So it was a local thing. So that's where I got the camping in, but I didn't get to travel to all the national parks. So, you know, now it's I think I got a bug.
But your parents taught you. And I think another good theme is your parents taught you adventure, right? Like I was on airplanes, right. Since the day I was born, I was flying across the world to Ireland. Right. So we love to travel. Right. So it's we're still traveling, but maybe people are just doing a little bit different things. So it's you taught them adventure, Chase, obviously I know Clay and Avery very well. They love doing things. They love being adventurous. So it's still at the big theme of things. They're traveling. They just might be doing a little bit of different things, right?
Different style.
Yeah, just different style of traveler, different style of adventure. So, but I'm a big believer that, you force at a young age, if you're passionate about something, they join your world, you don't join theirs. And that's what one of my good friend Walt told me when I first having kids, is whatever you love to do, they're going to join you. And you open and expose them to as much adventure and stuff, and that's a joyful stuff.
That was the best advice I ever got from Walt too. He was, thank goodness he was years ahead of us in that way. And I 100% believe that, because they're going to draw that love of things because they can tell how much you love what you're doing. But again, we come to time. So how many times I've had to explain to my kids what do you want to give up to go do this? Do you not want to go see your Uncle Mike in North Carolina or in Florida? Do you, you know, well, no, we don't want to not see them. Well, okay. That's a week out of our life that we can't, we got to, you know, we only get so many weeks of vacation and time a year. Do you want to give up volleyball? Like I tell that to Avery all the time. You want to go do all these things? You don't have to play volleyball anymore, because if you don't play volleyball, I tell you what, that opens up a whole world. Cause you know what? You have seen this entire country a few times because of volleyball, right? You're going to places that most people don't go, but you don't look at it as a vacation. You look at it as you're playing volleyball, and that's fine, except that it's travel all the same. So vacation wise, hotels, plane flights, the whole thing, eating out, you know, because we obviously can't cook there. It all adds up, and it's all taking time.
And money. Same thing. And money.
And money.
And they, money. You know, she's just at an age where she should start now understanding, yeah, just like Bryn, they're slowly understanding money. They don't totally grasp it all. But, you know, like you said earlier, it doesn't grow on trees. I mean, these trips, like even a little trip to Vegas is going to be, you know, $2,000. I mean, by the time you add everything up, you know, it's
– And we flew. They,
she has to – you know, the kids also have to understand that, like – you know, the money is just, it adds up even on these smaller trips. So like you said, if you gave up one thing, then that would free up not just time, but it would also free up a ton of money to money. Do other
Correct.
Things. If you're passionate about this other stuff.
Yeah. And I think for me in my situation, one of the big unsung hero is Sarah, because this is not her type of travel. Her type of travel was going down to Mexico on a beach, Ireland, London. That's the travel that she did as an adult, and not a hiker. but she said, okay, let's give this a try. And now I think she's gotten to the point where as long as I keep the hikes, to a relatively doable distance, she's all about it, because she's getting to see all these places. And, you know, we got to do like a little ranger talk in Joshua Tree and just follow the little ranger around, and they did a little loop. And it was actually at a place called Cap Rock, which made me think of you, Chase.
No, I've heard of it myself. Yeah.
And it's just a little loop, half a mile at most. But they had a little ranger talk, and they explained the geography and the geology of it all. And now she's like, you know what? That I like these little trips. Although we don't do camping when we do our road trips. We stay at hotels. And that's why we bumped into Chase.
That's
in
your cabin. Compromise.
That's
I was going to say,
exactly.
Las Vegas is probably one of the larger national parks and one of the more beautiful.
We bumped into a lot of people who actually were not from our area or Southern California, Southern Nevada, Utah area, from other parts of the country. And Las Vegas was their starting point. So they fly into Vegas, they rent a car, and then from there you can get 3 hours to Zion, 3 hours to the Grand Canyon, you can go to Death Valley. So a lot of the people who are doing outdoorsy things with us that I talked to from other parts of the country were staying in Vegas. And that's, they fly into the big airport in Vegas. There's obviously plenty of rooms, and they rent a car, and then they do their outdoors adventures. And then at the end of the night, work their way back to Vegas. So it was kind of funny that a lot of the people who were not staying for multiple days, pretty much all of them were staying in Vegas.
Life is life.
Just getting older, or just you know, I travel more like Sarah and Chase and Carrie. You know, I'm more of a hotel guy. I love going to Europe for obvious reasons, and I love just like going to the local pubs, finding good restaurants, and you know, doing that kind of stuff. But you know, for the first time, probably the last few years, it's like I'm actually starting to enjoy. I never really appreciated nature enough, like you know. And then Christine forced my hand when we went to Italy to go to the Dolomites. And this is the most beautiful. I was actually just holding a glass of wine and just staring out just to the mountains out of our hotel lobby, which had a beautiful view. And I just felt so at peace. And I think because we run so hard, like one thing I'm working on is I just feel like I'm always rushing, right? I'm just like, even to get these things podcasted in, right? Where it's like, 10 texts to go, are you open? Are you open? Like we're constantly, I feel like I'm always just going 100 million miles an hour. And I'm starting to now just enjoy that nature of like, even like when I drive to Mammoth, you know, you go to those, you know, that long drive, but you're just going in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, man, a part of me is just like, wow. Like I could just live out here for 30 days and just, you know, just kind of at peace. So it just, I guess it just slows me down a little bit in a good way. And, you know, so I can kind of see myself. I don't know about all the hiking and stuff, but I mean, I've done them and I enjoy them to a point, but, you know, but just going to those national parks is something I haven't, we've done a couple, but not as much and as passionate as you, but I think I'm starting to get to the point where I enjoy that stuff a lot more.
The other cool thing, Brian, is there's no cell service. So you couldn't do any, the kids can't get on their phone. You can't get a little, you know, you're like, I'm on my own. But at the same time, it's, you've completely disconnected. You don't know what the news, you don't know about the, like, there's just you and your little map that you downloaded or
and your family. Map.
And your family.
And your family. And you're forced to talk to each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a, no, that's amazing.
There's something very valuable in that. Very, very valuable in that. And I think if our kids can even learn more from that than anything else of like, hey, there's human connection here and we don't have to be staring at our screens 24/7 and there are beautiful rivers and trees. And there is something, like you said, Brian, that feels very at peace. I remember when Carrie and I went to Jackson just as a quick getaway and up there in, you know, Jackson Hole area during the summer. And oh my God, the beauty of that place, just you, it's awe-inspiring. Yep. And you do, you take a deep breath and go, oh my gosh, this is just unreal. And even where we live here in San Diego, just going to the beach the other day and Avery and I were sitting there and I'm like, do you believe that we live here? Like, this is our home and we forget how beautiful of a place this is.
It's so funny you just said that, Chase. Sorry to jump in there, but I was just going to tell the same thing. Like I was listening to a podcast. I just kind of have, you know, to better yourself and whatever. And they talk about getting early sunlight. Like it's one of the keys to like just happiness. And, yeah. So I'm now trying to get out on an early, a minimum 10-minute walk. And I'm not even taking my phone, even in my suburban area where there's a ton of houses. I'm actually just starting to look around for the first time. And it's like, you know, we still have mountains surrounding. And I'm like, even absolutely, that is beautiful. And I'm like, because even when I would do walks, Chase, I'm looking at my Slack, my work messages, my texting. And, you know, it's like music. I'm not even slowing the brain down and I'm going on a walk. So now I'm actually, so that for my little first thing in the morning walk, I'm not taking my phone. And I'm just forcing myself to listen to the birds. Just being out there, and once again, total suburbia, so it's not like I'm surrounded like the Dolomites or all these beautiful national parks, but you could just bring it in and you could slow the mind down.
Yeah.
And I think that's so sorry on that, Chase, to jump in on you, but
you're gonna live longer. That's important. That's extremely important. That if there's a lot of studies that say just doing a walk, just walking for 30 minutes in the morning and literally like you just said disconnect and take in everything else, it slows the body down.
The mind, especially.
The mind, yeah, and less stress. It's just healthy.
Yeah. One thing we did at Joshua Tree is I said, we're going to watch the sunset and we're going to wake up early the next day and we're going to watch the sunrise. And they were like, oh, this is awesome. I was like, but you realize the sun rises in San Diego. And the sun sets in San Diego.
Does
like,
it?
I just never looked at it. And I was like, I know. You know, we could drive to the beach and watch the sunset over the Pacific. You know, we're lucky that we can do that. But how many times do we actually take the time, like you said, to look around? Like, you could see the sunset from wherever you're at. And you could peek over and, you know, I might be looking over, like you said, houses or whatever it is. But you could see the sunset every day. So it's just a matter of, like, slowing it down sometimes and looking around. Like if I walk the dog, instead of being on my phone or whatever, I can concentrate on just walking the dog. I think goes a long way.
Yeah. I think it's just making the time and making the conscious effort to do this. And you have to put, at least I have to put things in place. That's how I kind of have to move forward with my stuff, but I have to kind of like write it down, make a plan, put it into my routine, and then I'm pretty good at executing it. But if I don't, I will be a mess and forget to look around. So, but that's to each their own. We all have our different ways to, you know, to do that.
And how do you instill that in your kids? Like we mentioned at the top of this episode of, you know, I've got a daughter who wants to go do everything, and I've got a son who's perfectly happy, you know, staying at home and either be on a video game or whatever. And he's kind of a, you know, he has ADHD, which in his mind, it once he goes and does something, he's fine. It's in his mind, though, it's, man, it's a lot of work to get started doing anything. And it's a constant battle of when do you make them get up and say, you're going to go do this with me, whether you like it or not, because you don't know what is good for you. And I feel like I do, versus, you know, there's also some parents that'll be like, hey, they'll figure it out on their own when they figure it out on their own. But, you know, I'm worried that he's going to sit in his room too long and he's going to become depressed, whether he, you know, knows it or not, because he's just afraid of, not afraid, but I don't even know if lazy is the right word. He's just not
content with just being,
he's content
there.
With just sitting around. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I think, you know, I know Clay very well, obviously. And I know Chase, and you'll be the first to admit, you always have to be doing something. Like you are flying around like a madman. You cannot sit still. Even to have you on this podcast for now, 45 minutes, we're checking on here. But, you know, I think it's just a little bit of a balance. He's different. You know, he's okay sitting around, and I think that's okay too. You know, I have those days where I just don't want to do anything. I'm so, like we talked about, you know, every once in a while I just want to have that lazy Netflix day or watch 8 hours of sports, and I am so happy. I don't want to be around anyone. I just want to kind of just unwind. And I think it's just, you know, I think as a dad, you just try to find your balance. You know, you got to get him some sunlight, get him outside. But at the end of the day, you know, I think he'll be a little bit different than you, but at the same time, you know, obviously I wouldn't let him sit in his room all day, but, you know, I think letting him just sometimes unwind, I mean, we don't understand all the stresses that a 15, 16-year-old have, and he's going through it, right? I mean, he's obviously has still the drama of losing his mother, you know, so, but I think I understand your delicate dance, though, because that's really hard. You don't want to see your kid just sitting in, and I'm not saying Clay does, by the way, but, you know, sitting in a room all day, but I think it's just getting him outside.
When he has the time to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, in his mind, it's I'm on spring break and I go. I play baseball. I'm at school. I'm studying, whatever. This is my chance to do nothing. And sometimes people just genuinely like to do nothing. And I have to remember that.
Yeah. And
I don't.
Yeah. And Ashley's the same. And then I think we forget Chase, at least.
And maybe because they're teenagers.
Yeah, well, I could also speak for myself. Like, I feel sometimes Ashton will be in a room on a Saturday, same thing. But then we forget, man. They are going to school all day long. They go, and I know Clay's the same schedule. Then she goes straight to track for another hour and a half, and then 2 days a week she has to go to soccer after track, and then she's got a track meet on Thursdays, games on Sunday, homework, and then waking up. So I think we forget that because we just see like that on a Saturday or that one spring break, you're seeing just, it's driving you nuts, right? You're like, oh my God. Like, but man, if you just open, like if you just take, and I have to do this, by the way, I have to take a step back and go, oh my God, that girl is, she doesn't get a break. So this is probably exactly what she needs, is just to unwind. And I think Clay has that same schedule of just that grind. You know, I wouldn't let him go 5 days straight on spring break, but I think a day or two there, just let him just, you know, I think it's good, but we all know our kids decent amount. And you do a really good job of, you know, telling him the why of why you wanted him to get up.
yeah.
It's definitely hard, Chase.
I don't tell him he's a lazy piece of crap and get up. I mean, I have to explain to him,
right.
Hey, you know, laying in your bedroom for extended periods of time, whether you know it or not, can cause depression. Like you for literally, sure. Just sitting around, you think you're being relaxed, but a lot of times
your mind might,
you know, there's something, your mind's right. Your mind and your body, you want to move, your body wants to be active, and you have to sometimes overcome. It's like, I don't always want to work out, but I do it anyway because right. I know it's good for me and I feel so much better afterwards.
I never want to like, work out, by the way. And I do it.
Well, Phil, you know, your kids, you know, it was a really hard hike, but they made it to the top of that mountain. There's accomplishment there and they're going to remember that forever. The euphoria, even though they're tired, they feel like, man, my body, like your mind is so much stronger than your body and you have to use it that way. And that's why, you know, like I want my son to play football and I know that it'll be really good for him, but to him it's hard, but he's 6'3", 230. I'm like, you could be really good. You don't know how good you could be. Oh, but it's hard, Dad. And I don't, as a father, don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that it's hard. Hard is good. And so at what point do you make them at least try instead of just go, okay, he knows what he wants, because he doesn't. He's lived 15 and a half years, right? So he doesn't know what he doesn't know. Yeah, so how much do you actually push him?
It's a great question.
I think it's a balance. And I think it also probably depends, you know, at what stage in their life they are. I think with my kids being much younger, I can push them more. And then as they get older, maybe then they start to have a little bit better understanding of like, you know, this isn't really my thing. My 5-year-old was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go hiking. Like, buddy, you don't really have a choice. You're going to finish this hike because what are we going to do? Leave you here at the trailhead and then pick you up on the way back?
God, that sounds familiar. I hear my dad saying those words right now, Felipe.
And he, at one point he sat down and he's like, I think I'm done. And I was like, you may think you're done, but you're going to finish this hike because we're all out here and we're not turning around because you feel the, he's like, but I think I'm just tired. So I did tell him at some point when he was sitting down, I said, buddy, look, I don't want to argue with you, but if you can't handle this short hike, when we get back, you and I are doing Cow's Mountain again, Saturday morning and Sunday morning. Every weekend to get you into shape so you can handle a little hike like this. And that's he's awesome. Like, what if I have a baseball game? Well, we'll wake up earlier and go hiking before your baseball game.
Nice.
And he popped right up and he's like, I don't think I want to do that. And I was like, I know you don't. As much as I like hiking, I don't know if I want to do that.
that would be old.
That kind of motivated him to, you know, like, okay, I maybe I don't want to, but I'm going to have to do it anyways. But he's 5, so it makes it a lot easier to say, like, you have to. You know, we're not going to change our whole day's plan because you decided you'd rather not go on this hike.
Life is life. Life is life.
Chase, I would say, and I've learned a lot about, I didn't know much about ADHD until Ash had a little bit younger. There's no magical answer. You have to know your kid, but I know, which is interesting and why I'd say you probably push them into it is I didn't realize that anything new for them is so hard, right? Yes. It's like I never, even a new position, like even, you know, moving from, you know, defender to, you know, forward or anything, like everything is so hard with ADHD because it's changed and it's not like me and you, it's like, well, just go for it. Knowing what he has and knowing that, I would say, you know, you probably push him into this year of football because I think he needs it too, just knowing everything that, you know, I talk about on the side. But, you know, and then maybe after, you know, hey, give it 1 year. Give us, you know, go all in, give us a year. And then if you don't like it next year, you'll be a junior. I mean, he's 16. He, you know, I think at that point he knows if he likes it or not.
He's becoming a man now. He's finally getting bigger.
I think one more year to push him into
bigger,
it.
He's stronger. And yeah. I mean, he pushes me around like I'm a rag doll.
Oh, he's a massive.
I'm like, dude. Yeah. And not only that, but he's going to, I want him to be around good people and a good culture
and good structure.
Structure. And he needs structure more than anything. And it's the same. It's the same, Phil, when you made me think of, you know, your kids going up that mountain. It was like, it made me think I've got to do that for my 16-year-old son, except his mountain is a football field. And, you know, people can talk about whether football's, you know, a safe sport or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But there is a culture to it that is extraordinary. And I believe that if, and not only that, but just the feeling of accomplishment, the feeling like that he overcame something that he didn't want to do necessarily, that there's a lot to be said for that in life because, for me, it's a metaphor for life. You want, life is really, really hard, as we've established many times. And you can succumb to it. You can quit. You can, you know, let life pass you by, or you can pick yourself back up and face challenges and be okay with failure. And you're going to become a stronger human being because of it. And that's what I want him to learn at an early age. And I don't want to make life super easy for him, because life's just not. It's just not. And when do they learn that?
I know how you parent. So you've told him the why, and I think that's how you're teaching it. And he's taking it in. He might not be listening right now, but he's understanding, you know, that. And yeah, so I think you're doing the right thing. And I think, you know, the coaches are going to give him great structure, and he's going to try it. And I'm just saying, like, just understand how hard that change is for him. That's what I failed to realize. Like, I would always say, like, why do you say no to everything? And it's like, well, all of a sudden it's like, oh, when I was somebody, an expert in that stuff told me, like, you don't understand how hard, like, we always say, just change, just go for it. Like, I'm like, you know, I don't get it. Like, you know, but
the brain doesn't work that way.
Right. And, you know, that's where we have to realize, but at the same time, it doesn't mean you don't push him, but you just have to, you know, you're coming in at a different angle, and you're, but right. You just give him the why, explain like you just did so eloquently. And, you know, I think he understands at that point. Then you force him into it, and then he's going to love it. He'll probably be a badass at it. And then next year he'll be like, I can't believe I almost didn't want to play, Dad.
So, right.
And then you'll feel like a hero. Right now you'll feel like a zero, but you know, in a year you'll feel like a hero.
Yeah, well.
It's hard, man.
Parenting's hard.
There's no right answer. You know, there's right. No right answer. Because then you're like, dude, am I pushing my kid into something for me and not them? And I don't know how you know. You know, I think it's pretty easy when you have a 5-year-old and like, you know, when our kids are that age, because it's like, you're doing it. Like, yeah, they don't even know
right.
better.
Right.
But now they have attitudes, they have opinions, they know a little yes. bit more of the world, but they don't know it all. Right, Chase? So, but now it's like, I definitely struggle in the same way. It's like, you don't even, it's really
well,
hard.
Ashlyn's the same age as Clay.
Man. You do your best. That's it.
Ashlyn's the same age as Clay, and she's gone through her metamorphosis kind of through athletics. And I remember there was a time, I mean, you kind of said, hey, stick with soccer, right? There was a time when maybe she didn't want to play. And then, man, she loved it, but she might be even going through another metamorphosis now, right? Like, so, you know, they're finding out what they're good at and what they really enjoy.
I agree. And my only rule is this, like, you have to be doing something. I don't, like, obviously I'm a big soccer guy, so I have more joy personally, but like, but you know, but that's not my, I want my kids to follow.
You got two more daughters that, by the way.
I want my, no, and I'm not worried about it. I'm very at peace, by the way. I told her, I want her to do whatever is going to bring her joy. And she loves track. Like that's her jam. And I, like, for me, it's just, you have to do something. Something in a team sport, something in the culture where you have structure and something to keep you. I want you with around like-minded people. I want you, you know, if you have too much time on your hands, bad things could happen, especially at this age. So, I'm very content on, you know, she's going to make a decision on what she wants to do, but I'm super content, and I believe in her on what she, you know, she will pick something that's, you know, she might go for, she might not, but she has other things in place, that are very productive and very, that are helping her grow personally. So it's, you know, very happy. I'm totally content, Chase, on that.
So well, thank you, Phil, for doing your little vacation. And I know that next time Sarah's going to get her beach vacation, right?
Yeah. I think our next vacation will include airplanes and not road trips.
Dig out that wallet.
Again, it's a little bit of a balance, and it's super sweet that your wife will do that for you. But I guess when I was vicariously living through your posts, just remembering my childhood and then realizing that you got to push sometimes your kids through their comfort zones, you know, push them out of their comfort zones to experience something that they're not necessarily used to. And that can be very, very difficult.
That goes for us too.
A lot of different places.
Chase.
Yes,
that goes
absolutely.
For us too. I mean, I'm still set in my own ways where I have to push myself out. You know, we still don't know what we like and don't. There's still stuff out there that, you know, maybe we haven't tried because of fear or time or just outside our comfort zone. And, you know, so I'm always, I think, you know, obviously, you know, a young teenager, it's, you know, they need a little bit more health.
Oh, that's a whole other podcast, Brian. I'm going through. I'm going through a whole world where my life is so different now. I mean, I have no idea what's ahead of me. Zero.
Yep.
You know, and that's a whole different discussion.
You're right, Brian, to push yourself to try new things, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to kayak this summer. I've never been kayaking, never had
Ocean kayaking is awesome.
Hey, maybe Chase and I are going to jump in our car and go down to one of our trails right here, maybe.
There you go. I'll see you guys at Potato Chip Rock.
Is that a trail to the golf course, Brian? Because I like those walks in nature.
Yes, that's more my jam too. But no, great stuff, guys. And yep.
Again, parenting's hard, and I'm just so happy that, you know, everybody needs a little break. I'm off for Salt Lake City here in 2 days. Clay is off to go visit Ryan and Blake, our friends, and he's going to get to go to opening day in St. Louis. So he is going to get out. He's going to go hunting, and he's going to go. So he's going to go get a whole experience that he's never had before in the middle part of our country here in Southern Illinois, with some family friends. So it's going to be fun, and he's going to be definitely outside his comfort zone. I can tell you that awesome. For sure. So like us, follow us, send this podcast out, share it with your friends. And as you know, we say every single week, life is life.
We all walk this long, winding road. Just remember that life is life.
The information contained in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute as accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice.